Welcome back to Boiler Up Down South. My name is Drew Schneider. I'm here with my buddy Garrett Sherman.
Hello, hello.
And this is the post-Ohio State Massacre podcast. We had some technical difficulties with our preview, so you missed out on us saying that Ohio State was going to beat us ruthlessly. And that actually happened, so you just had to take our word for it that we were correct in that. And so anyways, we're going to talk a little bit about that game and maybe look a little bit forward with the program and give you all about 20 minutes of content. So we're going to go to break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. Garrett, that was kind of what we were expecting.
Yeah, I said the 19.5 spread was kind of a dream. I didn't want to think it was that big of a dream, but apparently it was. It was rough goings, but we'll get into it later. I did see some bright spots that I want to point out. So, yeah, not the best day, but kind of what we all expected.
Yeah, and you know, it felt more competitive than the final score because Purdue missed all those field goals. It wasn't like
Purdue wasn't getting into the scoring range or anything.
Like, right. It wasn't like it was just nothing worked. I feel like things sort of all fell apart at the end, but they were able to at least, move the ball a little bit. Devin Mockabee had a nice game. Hudson Card struggled with his accuracy some. We can talk about that a little bit. Overall, just I think the bottom line, Garrett, was just talent disparity. It's really even hard to take anything out of this game because just the overwhelming gap in overall ability.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, you even look at it and you're like, oh man, especially given the injuries that Purdue was facing to some pretty key guys, you're like, oh, everybody on Ohio State's roster is, if they weren't a former five-star receiver somehow playing left tackle or something at this point, they were a transfer from a school where they balled out, where they were a four-star. Like, even on paper, it didn't look like it was going to come out in our favor, and we were saying in something that never got released that, like, the only way Purdue really has a shot in this game is if Ohio State sleeps on a noon game and just shoots himself in the foot a million times. And that didn't happen.
So, twice. They shot themselves in the foot twice.
That's true. Purdue had zero turnovers.
That's right.
Ohio State had two turnovers.
Won the turnover battle 2-0. So that's, a very, very small consolation prize.
Yeah, and I mean, Ohio State's secondary is always super great too. They're just feeding guys into the league, whether they be first round picks or undrafted free agents. And for Hudson Card to throw kind of inaccurately, yeah, I get it. But he didn't throw any picks. He was 13 for 32 for only 126 yards, but he did not throw a single interception, even with their kind of like swarming the group of cornerbacks and safeties.
Yeah. So, like I said, accuracy not great from Hudson Card. It's tough to be accurate against Ohio State. I thought the offensive line held up a little better than I expected.
Especially against
Ohio State. Only 3 sacks. That was both of their, former top 10 in the nation 5-star defensive ends. I think both had 1.5 sacks, but I thought they did better than I anticipated in keeping Hudson Card upright long enough to get rid of the ball. I do think he was rushed a lot and getting the ball out maybe a little quicker than normal, which could have led to some of those issues in accuracy. Like I said, the running game looked pretty good, though. What were your thoughts on Mockabee's performance?
Yeah, I mean, dude, 110 yards, especially when you knew you were going to have Tyrone Tracy out and you knew you were going to be kind of thrust into being the spotlight. 18 carries, 110 yards. That's a 6.1 yard average per carry. Didn't have a touchdown, but it was just that kind of day.
Yeah, he was like an inch away from a touchdown right there at the end of the, it was the end of the second quarter where Purdue got down to the, Maccabee got down to the 1-inch line, and then we ended up missing a field goal from like the 20.
One of three field goals missed, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, that, I mean, he was super close to putting that thing in the end zone. Oh, and in my preview, I said that Purdue needed to put the ball in the end zone, not the 1 yard line, the 1 foot line, the 1 inch line. Didn't take my advice. Still having trouble in that short yardage situation where you just got to kind of move people off the ball. But anyways, yeah, Maccabee looked good, and zero fumbles. Zero fumbles.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, too. It was like, okay, dude, you had a 6.1 yards per carry, and you held on to the ball. I mean, Purdue really didn't shoot themselves in the foot too much this game. They really just missed some kicks against a superior team. You can't really scratch your head at that. You can't really sit here and say, like, oh, if we had only done this right. I don't think Purdue was ever going to win that game.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, if it were that sort of scoreline, 41-7, and, like, year three of Ryan Walters, I think people would be a little concerned, but this is his first year, both as a head coach and with a whole new set of personnel. He's going to eventually start getting his own recruits in. I don't expect too many 41-7 defeats after year two. Hopefully no more 41-7 defeats at all. But again, I think I'm getting better just in life and in football of being an optimist. And there were some cool things to pull away from this game, especially for an injury-riddled team who's kind of coming into its own and has to face one of the playoff favorites. So.
Yeah, no, the defense, I feel like the score doesn't do justice to the defense, who I thought played fairly well for the most part. Yanni Karlaftis had a big game. I think he led the team.
He's playing great, man.
Yeah, I think he led the team in tackles.
He recovered one of those fumbles.
And, you know, that's something to look forward to, optimistic. He's only a sophomore, so, you know, he's a guy with another couple years ahead of him. And he's looking real good in that sort of middle linebacker role. He's fast enough to get where he needs to go. And he's a pretty solid tackler, physical kid. And so I think that's some good news for the future. Maybe we can have that middle linebacker spot locked up for a couple years. That'd go a long way for a building block. And then, of course... Thiemann in the back, right? Free safety.
He's one of the newest Thiemann brothers. Hopefully there are some more down the pipeline. I know there aren't. He's the youngest. But man, he's playing pretty darn well.
Right, and you know, you look at it, he's not that big of a kid, like 6 feet, you know, maybe 200 pounds.
No, he's just got that vision, like that. He's got that dog in him, as the kids say.
He's a good tackler when he breaks down. Now he will occasionally try to just wing an arm at somebody and get broken off, but you know, for the most part, he's when he breaks down and has good fundamentals, he gets guys on the ground in a hurry, and you know, good speed in the back. So. Again, maybe Purdue, and he's just a true freshman, so maybe Purdue has that middle linebacker spot locked up, maybe that free safety spot looking solidified moving forward. You know, that's all things you can build on.
Well, and I mean, especially when you have kind of like your centerpieces, from a recruiting perspective, that makes it a lot more, you know, I've worked in a collegiate athletic department. I kind of know how the recruiting works. I've been a recruiting intern. When you have your centerpieces and you know what to build around, you know which kids to prioritize in the recruiting cycle, whether that be the kids who want to commit in December or the kids who want to commit in the spring. I guess that's still winter if signing day is still February, first week of February. I digress. But, you know, I think this team is figuring out where its strengths are, and I think that was going to be the goal for the entire season to begin with. And especially because they're running into some younger players who are showing out, you know who you can build around, and you know what sort of scheming is going to be successful in the future versus what you've done so far in areas where you have weak spots that have, you know, not played to your advantage. I think Walters is going to be good enough to get younger kids excited again. I think he's the youngest coach in the Big Ten, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And that always pays dividends, especially when you're a defensive-minded head coach. And I don't see Purdue struggling defensively next year. Certainly not in year three of Ryan Walters. I think. What do you think? Ryan Walters got at least like 3 years guaranteed.
Here's what I think. I think that Ryan Walters just needs to start challenging the opposing coach in arm wrestling contest before the game to decide the winner and loser for the rest of the season, because the man has some guns.
Yeah, new rule in college football overtime, if you have to go into overtime against Purdue, it's not a start at the 25 and see who scores situation. It's you have to try challenge Ryan Walters to a arm wrestling competition.
That's right. Yeah, 3 years guaranteed, man. He's going to need, I mean, you don't know what you got until you get 3 years in, especially with a coach like that. And his recruiting looks great, man. He just picked up a 4-star tight end yesterday, I believe. Galloway, I think is his name. And, you know, that's somebody he's been after for a while. And he looked around, and I thought it was going to go a different way. But he came back around to Purdue. So the you know, coaching staff still closing on some pretty elite recruits without having really the wins to sell. Although I think this coming up week, which we'll get into more on Friday, this coming up week against Nebraska sort of is a whole different scenario. So I think we're going from a game like Ohio State where the talent disparity is just so big, it doesn't really matter what Purdue does, to a game where Purdue, while maybe at full strength, is probably on equal terms or, you know, slightly behind Nebraska talent-wise. But this is a game Purdue should not just come out and want to try to keep it close. I think Purdue has a legitimate shot to win this one. But they just got to flush that Ohio State game. And hopefully some of the injured players are able to return. Boy, the offensive line, Garrett, that's looking pretty beat right now, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how much you can really do with a mobile quarterback. Like, okay, Hudson Card's capable of being, like, if he were forced to be a strictly pocket passer, he could be. We've seen some of his deep balls, we've seen some of his good reads. But without an offensive line, not to sound like too stereotypical football coach, but this is a game that's won between the trenches. And what are you going to do offensively if your offensive line is kind of just lagging behind your skill position groups? I mean, I saw Georgia do that a lot when I was a kid, where we had 5-star receivers, 2 5-star running backs, but a bunch of 3-star offensive linemen. And that can only get you so far if you get, sure, always get the ball into the hands of the most talented players you have. But if your offensive line is enough to snuff, you know, you're not going to go insanely far.
As I just want everybody to know that Garrett put a big old, like, Chaw Red Man in right before he started talking about offensive line. That's what he lives for.
When I hover around like 200 pounds now, but when I was 6'6", 275, I looked like I could have been the world's worst walk-on.
Oh,
world's worst walk-on right tackle. Give it to me, right now.
You know what? I think he would be an excellent tackling dummy. So, anyways, Nebraska. Like I said, I feel like this is a winnable game. I haven't looked too much into what the Huskers are bringing to the table under with Matt Rhule yet. That'll be over the next couple days. But what's your thought, just briefly, on that Nebraska game, Garrett?
I mean, it's in Lincoln, correct? So, yeah. That makes it a tad more difficult, although, you know, Nebraska's not the Nebraska that we all remember from our childhoods, so...
Do they still have their fraudulent sellout streak going? Because they were cooking those books.
Probably. They just put husks of corn in the stands and say those count as people.
That's true. Crows are also people.
But, I don't know, man. Nebraska, I mean, obviously, they've kind of been on the rebuild. You can't even call it a rebuild at this point, at these many years on, but they've been on a rebuild, on a rebuild, on a rebuild. So, you know, I don't... This isn't a game you can just immediately chalk up as a win or a loss. I think it's going to be one of those kind of, like, one-possession games or something. And we'll preview this more next week, but... I don't see this being a game that's going to go heavy one way or another. I think the only challenge for Purdue is who comes back off the injured list, and you know, if they can adapt to a road environment again after just getting the crap beat out of them at home.
I have just two words, and it's Hudson Card. It really just depends on how he's playing. Like, if Purdue's going to beat Nebraska, he's got to be better than what he's shown. I still think he doesn't look right. Like, there's something about, like, his throwing style and his sort of hesitancy to run. I just feel like, and he doesn't look quite healthy. I know he kind of got beat up. I know he's having maybe some neck and back issues. And so I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt still. He has taken a lot of hits. We did see Bennett Meredith for a couple plays against Ohio State there at the end.
Yeah, I think he threw two passes. He was 1 for 2.
Yep. So, you know, he is officially, you know, at least we know he's capable of throwing the ball forward. So that's the first step. We have identified the backup quarterback. You know, if Card continues to struggle, you might see more of Meredith, especially if it's an injury issue with Card and not just him having some trouble adapting to the speed of the Big Ten.
We'll see, and that's kind of what I was thinking too. Is like, let me do my Southern accent for this one. That boy don't quite look right.
He don't quite look right.
It's nothing, because like we've seen Hudson Card like throw really pretty deep balls, and we've seen him throw like really good. He's kind of good at throwing just about every route when he's got a little bit of time and he hasn't been hit 1,000 times. Hudson Card really doesn't look right. And I'm not saying that's to any fault of his own. I think he's just been kind of rocked a few times. But yeah, man, if he plays well and if he's got like a decent amount of time to at least extend a play and find somebody like a Deion Burks or who is Mershon? What's his last
Mershon
name?
Rice. Yeah, Mershon Rice.
He showed up. That was awesome.
I have no idea what happened to that dude, because like I thought he was all right last year, and then like I assumed he would be on the depth chart, but we really haven't seen him yet until, you know, he showed up had a nice little catch and run after catch. So maybe Mershon's going to have a reemergence here in the second half of the season. He is a bigger receiver on the outside.
Which is what Purdue kind of needs.
Which is. It would be
interesting. And by kind of, I mean very much, very much needs.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if maybe Rice gets something cooking there. That'd be kind of a cool little takeaway from an otherwise horrific Ohio State game. All right, so anyways, I don't think we'll keep the good folks much longer. Any final words here, Mr. Shearman?
No, I think we basically covered it with just the talent disparity was never going to be overcome. I think the 19.5 spread was kind of funny to begin with. That's really all I got.
Well, all I have is I don't care how bad they beat us. I still hate Ohio State.
Oh, me too.
Just miserable, miserable people.
I hope fellow Purdue fans enjoyed my alma mater stealing victory away from them on December 31st of last year.
That was sweet. That was so sweet. I don't think I hate a team more than I hate Ohio State, honest to God.
Of all of my out-of-conference teams, because, of course, I am a Georgia fan first and foremost, of all of my out-of-conference teams from the SEC perspective, there is nobody I hate more than Ohio State.
Yeah.
And that has been the case since I was, like, 7 years old.
Yeah, and, like, again, I went to Clemson, and, like, they're the worst. Like, we don't even play in the same conference, and we play each other like every, like, you know, 2-3 years, and they are, oh, I hate them. So anyways, hopefully in the next year or two, maybe Ryan Walters keeps stocking up on these 4-star players, and the talent disparity is not so bad, and we can beat them, because I hate them.
Yeah, we'll prove who the better Ryan is in a few years.
That's right. We have the superior Ryan. Or at least ours is.
At least ours doesn't use hair dye.
And is gunned up. Look at those arms, man. Whew, buddy. All right. So anyways, we'll see y'all a little later in the week.
Y'all come back now.